An idea born out of Monday morning chats at the coffee machine. In this series, we chat to our guests about their going out experiences and how it shaped them.
Join us, Pippa
and Georgia,
team members at Skiddle who love going out and miss chatting about it. Welcome to the Going Out podcast with Skiddle. This is episode 4 and we're speaking to the whole Mason Collective this week.
We spoke to them about their legendary theme parties, booking MK for their first event, which was shut down, so some of you might remember that. And they talked exclusively about their new clothing label and their guilty pleasures on their Spotify Unwrapped.
So here it is. Enjoy.
Welcome to Mason Collective. Welcome. Thank you for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
It's all right. So as there's a few of you, we think it'd be best if you introduce yourselves so then everyone can get to grips with your voice. So if you want to introduce yourselves and then we'll crack into some questions.
Yeah, Miles.
So I'm Mace Milo or Adam Miles.
Blair, Grandad, Blair Suarez.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
So basically, the podcast is just touching on your going out experiences, just to give a bit more insight into your personal lives, I suppose. The Skiddle customers love Mason Collective.
Yeah.
They love your events. and yeah, I think they're pretty keen to hear about how you started out and stuff. So when did you all start going out? Where did you grow up? Like, tell us a bit more about that.
I think we've all been partying since we were like 14, haven't we, realistically?
that ends up happening in like every episode.
Yeah, everyone says 14, like it's like 14, the golden age of like going out. Yeah.
Illegally.
Illegally. Surprisingly, we all met in the same place. I met Adam through like parties when we were younger, like house parties and whatnot. And then realistically, it was like the hub of like Manchester when we were younger, which is Sankey's.
Yeah.
So me and Blair met in a smoking area in Sankey's. I didn't even smoke, I was just there chilling. Social smoking. And I was like, yo, what are you doing? I was just like, safe, how you, I think I complimented his trainers or something. Ended up getting onto the topic of like running events. At the time, I've never actually run an event. So I was just like, Blair ran events at the time.
Yeah.
And then we ended up just chopping it up. And then I think Adam was there as well. So I was like, yo, Adam, just met Blair. Blair's a sick guy. And yeah, from there it just kind of formed, and then every week we just went Sankey's.
Sankey's was like the mecca, innit? Like you went Sankey's every Friday and Saturday.
It's crazy because like looking at the city now, there's not really a club where you can kind of, there is that for the youth, like obviously times are weird right now, but back then it was just so grateful to kind of have a hub where every single week there was somewhere to kind of go. And there was just a very credible DJ to play. Times have definitely changed, but I think like back then, Sankey's was a spot. That's where we all kind of met, and then with different places in Manchester that just kept popping up. So we just kind of tried to go from each place and what was popping at the time and put our own spin on it.
Yeah.
How do you feel now that Sankey's is now like an office building? You see them pictures going round.
I cry every time.
It's heartbreaking.
It's crazy because, do you know what, more time I just feel, because people that have not experienced it, they just drive past and they'll never know what was actually there. The door frame's still there of the Sankey's building, and you can just, I think it's still blue. I think they've just kept it blue.
Like the memory must be in that dark.
Yeah, and you can still see where the sign's being taken off to some extent, I think.
Yeah.
They painted over it properly, but it's crazy because it got voted the world's best club in the world.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking the other day as well, like there's nowhere now where you can party to like 6-7 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like before you've even hit an after party, like you're in the club till 6. Like remember when they used to put them lights up and they used to say open till 7 tonight.
Yeah,
like,
everyone would just go to the bar. Yeah, it was sick, man.
Now you finish at what, like you're lucky to get a 4 a.m. now, so like it's just so different. It's heartbreaking, really. Yeah.
Yeah, I think. We'll just edit this bit out. Have you got a washing machine on?
Yeah.
Is there any way you can pause it? Sorry.
That was a good spot.
I could just hear it. Might keep that in, actually. Mason Collective do their own washing.
Good one.
Right,
yeah, we're done.
Oh,
yeah,
thanks.
I appreciate that. Remember to switch it back on later. Yeah, someone shared a photo of it in our group chat at work, didn't they? And it was like, it's still got the floor.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird to think that it's got a new purpose, hasn't it? But
yeah. Well, it seemed like the Hacienda went that way, didn't it? And turned into, like, apartments, I think that one did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Everywhere here is going that way, like gentrification right now is just crazy. It's a real shame, like we've lost so many. Sound Control we lost. That was what another place where we started our party, so like all the history just kind of being torn down.
I think that turned into like student accommodation Sound Control, which is like annoying that it's just going to be a block of flats.
The students won't even know what that means.
I feel like that generation of just like time where, but from the age of like when we were like 15 to like 22, it's actually gonna like that's gonna be history to look back at. And you know, in 10 years, I'm gonna be like, wow, Sankey's was actually Sankey's Sound Control, even towards you, Joshua Brooks. Like, that's kind of gone now.
Yeah,
and to look back and go, like, Manchester was actually the hub of the UK, I would say, at that moment in time.
Yeah. For sure.
It was defo popping more than London.
Yeah, definitely. And how do you feel about like Mayfield Depot coming around and new kind of venues like that, which is obviously huge? What do you think? That's an exciting new like era of Manchester, or?
Them places are cool. It's just complete. It's different.
It's a different vibe. I'm all for the big venues, and it's great that we have Mayfield Depot. It's another experience, but it's sad to see the kind of the smaller clubs and the more intimate underground.
It's like a basement vibe.
Yeah, It seems like that generation and that vibe of stuff is just kind of like a thing of the past to some extent.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Obviously, trends always come, and I'm sure that time will come back round. But it does seem like right now it's like big warehouse spaces, big parties. Well, I mean, that's not going to be happening now, is it? So maybe the whole COVID thing will take it back to smaller venues and whatnot. But yeah, the depot is great. The people that run it are great. Like, I have a bad word to say about it at all. We've been in some sick times. Even when we've not played, we've just partied there.
Yeah.
Really good.
And just going back to like the inception of Mason Collective, like how did you create the name and where did that come from?
Everyone always asks this, you know?
Difficult one.
Yeah, I'm just gonna leave it as that. That's
it's kind of like Skiddle, isn't it? People are like, how do you get that? No one knows why. Not even the director.
We'll put it in there.
Tell all. So who were you going out to see and stuff back in the day? Like, who was your inspiration and what kind of music were you listening to?
It might be different. I'm a bit older, so I kind of first started going out to like the niche and bassline raves. So I was listening to EZ in like 2006 and shit. Like, so my experiences and my inspirations, they didn't come from kind of a house techno background initially. They were more bass heavy and more like, I don't even know these, but like Burger Boy and Sub-Zero, Jamie Duggan, Sean Scott and all that, which is still kind of around now, but it's just a lot less hype than it was when I was growing up.
There's a lot of people from Manchester as well, weren't they?
Yeah, it was very UK based. It was like Manchester, Sheffield, Leeds. Used to go every weekend, it'd be like going to Rotherham or to Sheffield or to anywhere where we could find a sweaty rave beast.
I used to follow that whole scene, but I think it was like just before my time. Yeah. So like,
we used to listen to dubstep, didn't it?
Before
dubstep was like bro step, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I used to go to watch like
proper
Borgore and all that sort of stuff. So that was like northern based, where like, you know, you'd go to Leeds, your Sheffields and all that sort of stuff, and there was always an illegal rave every week as well, wasn't there? But Manchester, regardless of what music it's been, like, it's always been a hub. Like, even with the niche stuff, the dubstep, the house and all that stuff, it's always done its own thing and put the biggest artists in the world somewhere.
Where do you think the hub is now, if you think that it was Manchester? Is it more like London now or somewhere else?
I don't know.
I'd say it's more London than Manchester now. Yeah. But
I guess it's hard to say now because clubs have been shut for so long. You don't know who's going to come out of it.
Yeah, Leeds was out of the centre of it at one point.
Leeds in 2014-15 was gaff.
Yeah, I used to go to like Mint Club and stuff like that when Leeds, I went to uni. Yeah.
They were good. Like the North was just popping because you'd do technical on a Thursday where you'd literally, it was a student night, but you'd have like Maceo, Fletcher, Jamie Jones, Martinez, like, all
Waff
playing.
And
like,
Heidi on a Thursday
Waff night. Heidi, it was ridiculous if you look back.
Yeah.
So the hub probably is London.
No.
What kind of places did you used to go to in London or?
When I partied, I just went to some fabrics and stuff like that. You wouldn't go, obviously, it's, when you were younger, it was an expensive one, so you wouldn't go all the time. But if you did, you'd just do it.
London was the only place I didn't used to go when I was younger.
Yeah.
Just because it felt like further afield and money and you could go to Leeds, quickly drive to Leeds, go away, flip back. But London was always like a bigger one.
Yeah, definitely. Fabric was the spot.
And you've noted Liverpool basement parties.
Oh, yeah, because I'm sure Omar did like a set at a Liverpool basement party that I went to.
Yeah, we did a few.
Yeah.
We did an event there at
Forecast. Yeah, and I'm sure people were charging on the door. And Shanice, my friend whose basement it was like, why are you charging on the door? Like, it's my house. Give me the money.
Yeah,
it was funny. And Dario Sarossian turned up to one of them after playing at Circus.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was sick.
Yeah, we compromised, didn't we? We always do.
Yeah.
I'll choose a placement and charge people in.
Yeah. Just starting our own events, promotion.
Yeah. And then how did that like segue into you putting your own events on then? So obviously they've grown hugely over the last few years, but when was the first one? What was that like? Where was it? What made you take the jump into kind of putting on your own?
First one was 2012.
Yeah.
December 2012.
28th of December.
Yeah.
It was.
And we booked MK for that. That was just before MK kind of had his like big comeback.
That was actually MK's second show in the UK for 10 years. Yeah. So that was like, I remember it was his second show back from like not playing for 10 years. So he did a show in London the night before. And then we were trying for 3 or 4 months. Like, I was in college at the time, but I was in uni, and I was going out. I was missing that, like in college, I was missing classes to make sure I was calling the agent. I was like, "Oh, is there any room? Like, can you do this? Can you do that?" And we just completely pestered him for like 3 months, and then eventually they were like, "Right, we'll let you book him."
Yeah,
booked him.
Saved up all our money.
Yeah, so literally saved up 3 months, and it got shut down.
Why?
It was to be fair, we all
in like a good way.
we were doing it for a party where we like obviously
we didn't know what was going on.
We had no clue what we were doing. We thought we had all the clues in the world, and we had no clue, and we oversold it. For the fact, Solomon was actually playing at Sankey's on the same night. So when that got announced, we were so scared because we were like, no one's gonna come. I think Sankey said he struggled that night because we did like 700 tickets.
Yeah.
It was our first night ever, 700 tickets.
We meant to do 450.
Yeah. So we sold it back. So we sold about 300 people. we weren't being greedy. We just did it by mistake.
Yeah.
Because we had paper tickets and stuff at the time. On the night, everyone was like, I was like, yo, promoters, have you got the tickets still? They're like, what do you mean? We sold them all. So we just like, oh shit. But yeah, that was the start. And then, didn't we just a year or two later, obviously we started to learn a trade and start to take it a lot more serious when we sit down, come up with a full promo plan. And then we moved to Sankey's. Obviously that's
we moved to Gorilla.
To first. Gorilla, didn't we? Yeah, Gorilla was a good spot.
Did like two or three at Gorilla.
Yeah, but in terms of events, it's all about just continuing to do each one. You might do one and lose a load of money, but the experience that you gain from it.
Yeah.
It's just like each time you learn something and progress.
It's always a process.
Yeah, And there is certain times where you do an event and you think, oh, flipping hell, like, how are we going to get to that next stage? But I think something always happens. And I think around 2012, that was the time where everyone started using social media. Like, no one really kind of did use Snapchats and your Instas.
No, before then it was running around, like, pasting posters up around the city with paint in the middle of the night, like, trying to not get caught.
Yeah. With a big bucket of, like, this glue.
Oh, thing. Yeah, wallpaper paste.
It was all over the car. We spilled all over the car. I think he used to borrow someone's car. And, yeah, and we come back and the whole seat was just covered in glue and stuff. And,
no.
Good man.
You were annoying all the other Manchester promoters because you were pasting over theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just posted over and just hoping we'd get like a six, seven hour exposure. And,
before it gets ripped down.
And obviously we'd take turns, so Adam would go out and fly it one day, we'd fly it one day.
Mm.
And then we moved to Sankey's, ended up doing a bit of work for Sankey's in the office and whatnot, did some consultancy for them, and then literally progressed to warehouse projects, and then the rest kind of just goes in. So yeah
because your themed parties are like a pretty big deal.
Yeah, when we started doing the theme parties, that's kind of when things progressed severely, I'd say, because then we were doing something different. Like before, we were just booking artists, and like there were good parties, but when we started doing the themes and we started kind of focusing more on ourselves, that's when it really worked for us.
Well, it was like more time we were bringing an experience rather than just a party where you're going to watch a DJ and you have a good time with your friends, whereas now we started doing a dress code, we started doing the main set ourselves and not just booking DJs, because when we were at Sankey's, we used to have a budget for a DJ, and then we'd play before the main DJ, and then everyone used to kind of leave the room when we finished.
Yeah.
So we were like, the guys were like, everyone's coming to see you guys.
Yeah.
We were like, are you right?
We need to focus the party on it.
Yeah, so then that's when we took the step of kind of saying, right, we need to start focusing around us, not in a big-headed way, we just knew what our market wanted, and then bring in an experience. So we all used to sit down and come up with the theme ideas and come up with a little dress code idea. And
it's kind of around the same time we started using more unusual spaces.
Yeah.
Rather than just using standard club rooms, we started to use like rooftops, car parks, anywhere where we could kind of put a system in, really. Yeah.
And we'd spend literally days and weeks just driving around trying to find all these different spots. And some weeks you drive around and you're looking for these people with lease signs on them. It was impossible at the time, and we always found a way, kind of.
Yeah. So, what's been some of your favourites spaces you've used?
Themes.
Hit us with some themes.
Caribbean theme for me.
Yeah, that was sick.
Everyone always dresses.
Every time we did that, it was like you weren't in Manchester.
Yeah.
And I think one summer we had sun every single time we did a party, and it was
sick.
Yeah, it was crazy. It didn't rain once, did it?
No.
For a whole summer, we did like four parties, and it was sun every time.
The Vice City thing.
Yeah, Vice City was our kind of first one, but it was like the first one where we're like, right, this is got momentum.
Yeah. That was dope.
Do you know which one I thought was sick? The intergalactic one.
That was dope.
Yeah, we did some, like, it was in like a car garage, and when we went to set up, it was still like full of oil and tires and shit. So that was stories, man. Yeah, it's and then we used to do some rooftop parties as well, which was on the top of an office where this guy used to, like, when everyone went home for the week, he wouldn't tell anyone in the building, he'd just let us use
it. I was just like in the middle of Cheetah Mill as well, like,
yeah,
just a random rooftop.
Oh, that's so cool.
They all add to the story.
Yeah. Definitely when you use a venue that people haven't been to before, I feel like you get that like special feeling from it, don't you? How do you come up with the themes? Is it literally just like pluck something out of thin air or something?
I mean, we all kind of sit down and come up with little different ideas. It's not like we just sit here for an hour and go, right, this is it. We'll just go back and forth for a while, obviously.
A lot of come from experiences.
Yeah, 100%.
Like we've been somewhere, seen shit and been like, it'd be sick to try and replicate that in our own way in a party theme. Like Miami, that's where we got
the Miami was the Vice City thing. So when we were in Miami, we were like, right, we need to just take whatever we know, our knowledge from Miami, and come back and do a party.
Yeah.
I think a month later we did that because we were in Miami in March, and then we did the Vice City Miami party in April.
Yeah, the bank holiday.
So that was why it replicated so well, because even Little Lion, we made like a lion, and we walked past this lion in the street, and we're like, right, let's just create that and just bring it to the party and stuff. So it was just creating an experience so people could kind of just for the night forget where they are.
Yeah.
Did you have anything like that planned this year that got cancelled / rescheduled?
We had loads. We had so much, man.
I mean, the main thing this year, I suppose, was doing our event at Mayfield.
Yeah.
Going to be huge.
Yeah, that was. I think that was going to be a real turning point.
In April, was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a big structure as to what we, that was going to be like a new wave party for us. That was going to be level three for Mason. And
yeah, and that was like really close to the first lockdown as well, so that must have took you by surprise in a way, because it was like one of the first ones to be cancelled.
Yeah, well, we usually do it seasons as well. We're super active over the summer, and then when it gets to January we kind of just have a little bit of time off and in terms of defense, and wait for April again. So we just kind of try and run Mason seasonally, so it's not a once a month party.
Yeah.
So we're forcing it out. So yeah, we were sat on the idea of, we didn't even release the theme and whatnot either for it. So we just did the lineup. But yeah, that would have been a legendary one. But I'm sure we'll do it at some point.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
And you've obviously got like your Halloween ones that you do as well. Yeah. A few videos. They look mad.
I think Halloween was so obvious to say that that was a standout for us. Halloween is
our party.
Yeah, if you're going anywhere else, Halloween. Yeah.
I did think of yours because you kind of associate Halloween with your Halloween parties. Like you always do it like the biggest, like the best kind of thing. So I did think about yours on Halloween. I was like,
oh, you were in our thoughts.
Yeah.
And then you've done a lot of like stuff abroad, so Ibiza, Sonar, a Hideout. Yeah. What's been your favourite one that you've done? And
I actually, like last night, I was trying to think. Costa Rica was up there.
Yeah, Costa Rica.
Oh wow!
All of them have been amazing to play, but we threw our own villa party off Sonar in 2000 and what, like.
Yo, if you're watching this, go on YouTube and type in Mason Barca. Put it on a big screen.
You're gonna get your feels.
Yeah, it was lovely. Yeah, that was great.
I think that was one of my favorite parties that we've thrown abroad.
Yeah,
for
that
sure,
was one of definitely. The favorite parties of the community.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah,
and that again was just like an intimate, like 200-300 people.
Yeah,
person thing in a villa, but it was just like an absolute vibe, and it's just crazy to even do.
I think as well, because when we started doing these events, obviously off the back of it, we started jumping in the studio a lot more. Our music started to move and we started to actually get bookings, whereas like then we got an agent and all that sort of stuff. So by the time you knew it, the events were second priority, because we had shows every single week. So that's why, you know, when we do an event, it is so special, and it's like, because we, before obviously COVID, we were playing every single weekend, like twice a weekend, or even sometimes three times, like going from show to show. So it's good, obviously, when we do our events to kind of go back to them and say, right, we're going to make this one special.
Yeah, I think, well, we've seen that you've been keeping busy anyway in Dubai.
Yeah.
So, boat parties, MK, James from Salado, lots of food. Yeah. I've seen the spread, so... what's that been like? Tell us more about that, because obviously no one's been doing anything here, so at least we want to hear about Dubai.
We actually got that yesterday, so...
Yeah. How do you feel?
It's still not great.
At least we're out of tears, though. You came back at a semi-alright time.
It was amazing. It's an amazing experience to go out there and just play again, because it feels like, you know, obviously...
It's good for the mental. Here is just really downtime for everyone at the moment, and completely get that. So it's just good to kind of get away and get a kind of refresh and do what we love to do, which is play.
Because it's been like, what, 12 months now?
Yeah, not playing any shows, not playing. Like that feeling you get of watching people dance to your music, even if they do have to sit down and kind of bop their head rather than stand up. But like, it just feels great to be back behind the decks, really.
What's the vibe like in Dubai? I know, obviously, it's people have to sit down and stuff, but how does that vary from your events in England?
I mean, not everywhere you have to sit down.
Okay.
You've kind of got your mask on and you're adhering to COVID regulations.
It's like the cleanest place in the world as well. So I think they've only had they've had 500 deaths there, like the whole time. So, so they treat it like they're, that, do you know what I mean? Like it's, obviously it's still a massive, massive problem everywhere in the world. But yeah, they're really on it. And in terms of like when it comes to the club vibe, like they try and cater to it as well as possible and still like let people have a good time. Whereas I know in the UK, I think a few places just didn't kind of get it correct because it was difficult. But obviously they have everything on steroids there, don't they? Dubai, they had the facilities to kind of cater for everyone and whatnot.
Yeah, it's definitely not normal, but it's as close to it as
it's the closest
I've seen for a while.
Yeah, definitely.
I bet that was refreshing to just be in that vibe.
100%. It feels surreal because at the end of the day, this is our job.
Yeah.
So imagine someone turning around to you and saying, "Right, you can't do your job for the foreseeable." What do you do? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
What have you been doing in your downtime? Have you been like planning for future events or writing music, making mixes?
Yeah, writing a load of music, doing mixes, planning for events. But the only thing is, because we don't know when anything's coming back, it's hard to we planned a Halloween party, but it didn't happen.
So it's a bit difficult to, because you sat on all these ideas and you're just like, right, well, obviously these ideas are going to be able to be used, but then they might not be relevant when time comes. And it's really difficult. Obviously, we keep our head up and we still obviously stay in the studio and obviously just do what we can do. And time's been going really quick, to be fair.
Yeah. So hoping we see the back end of it soon.
And you've got a lot of new music out. Yeah. Tell us more about that.
We're starting a lot of new music at the moment. We've not released anything for the past few weeks just because we want our music to kind of get the vibe of partying and in the club. Our music especially is kind of tech heavy and you kind of have to dance to it. I don't think everyone wants to download our music and kind of sit in the gaff and listen to it. So we have held back on a bit of music. We've released a few edits, which have been doing really well. And I think we're just going to keep on releasing edits and singular tracks for now until the clubs reopen and we can get back to full EPs and back to normality.
Yeah. Do you try it out in like a club atmosphere before your release? So did you try it out in Dubai or not?
Yeah, we saw a few bits in Dubai. So we knew like set things would work. So,
but that is so important, exactly what you just said, like trying shit out in the club before you release it is like, you have to do that. So not being able to do that, like it might sound really good in the studio, but I kind of want to see how people react to it on the dance floor.
Yeah.
And not having that at the moment is kind of daunting.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've held back on a bit, but we'll be back soon.
When we were kind of looking into you guys a bit more, fashion's like a really big aspect of what you guys are interested in. I even saw like Omar, you were posting about like your kids' clothing and like all the different like collaborations and stuff on like the old clothing that you used to wear like back in the day.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So obviously you've had an interest for like a really long time. You've done like work with brands and stuff. Like, how's that been as an experience as like three young guys from Manchester?
Yeah, because it's always been something that we've been interested in. It's just been sick to work with a load of different brands recently. Like, I think we did a really sick project with Adidas. That's where we threw like a party, it's for like the release of a new trainer line. There was like a campaign all around Manchester as well, so that was a sick one. And we've also done things on the other sort of the spectrum with like Louis Vuitton, where it's like private in-house parties. So just to be involved in that world because we've got such an interest in it, aside from the music, is sick.
Yeah. Is it a bit mad to think that you're working with brands like Louis Vuitton and stuff?
Surreal.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't really think about it, you just roll with the flow.
Yeah.
when you do it, you're like, right, well, this is kind of my job, so I'm just going to enjoy it as much as possible and do the best kind of job. And then, yeah, it's even to like, obviously, we work with Nike to some extent. And then who else have we worked with? CP Company, we've done a load, and we love that sort of stuff because that's kind of our vibe. We're always buying trainers, always trying to get knee drops, always trying to do this, and just another way of expressing ourselves, really.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever design any clothes or anything like that from Mason Collective?
You answered the question. We've got some stuff on the way we've been working on. That's a big thing. We weren't going to mention it, but yeah, we've got a little range coming soon.
Yeah. Ooh, people can hear it here first.
that would be really good. But we're just spending a lot of time on it because we don't want to. We've released a few bits in the past, but we want to just make sure we kind of.
That this is right.
Yeah, go into it. And we've been spending a good few months on it, to be fair. So we're getting
I'm excited. Need.
Is that the dream, or is the dream working with brands like Louis Vuitton?
Bit of both.
Definitely
kind of want to put our own stamp on it, but working with brands that like we've always looked up to is just crazy at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I suppose that's like what's really distinctive about you is that you're a brand in itself, not, you know, like the music aspect is obviously huge, but it's about you three as like your interest in fashion as well, which is like, yeah, I think that's pretty huge and very distinctive compared to like other DJs or artists.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we were younger, you didn't really get insight into the DJ's lifestyle or anything like that. And I think it's so key now because of social media and whatnot. We started our own YouTube channel over lockdown as well, doing our podcasts. So we're going to keep them coming regularly, you know, just to keep like an insight because this day and age, everyone's nosy as hell. I see even just like this now, like it's like if we were younger and our idol DJ wise had stuff out there that we could watch and whatnot, I think it'd be cool. So that's why we're just trying to do this and just show everyone what's what and put our opinion and project what Mason is.
What's your podcast about? Do you interview people or is it just between you guys?
Us.
And Remy as well.
Us and Remy that DJs with us, it's just us talking conspiracies, talking food, talking girls, talking shit.
Like
a fly on the wall kind of thing.
It's an interesting I'm like, we're going to start putting like topics together and then obviously like asking people what they want to hear, and we'll start doing like little episodes on specific things.
We do a big segment on music and how things are going during lockdown and how music's kind of changing, and it's relevant.
Yeah, very relevant.
What kind of conspiracies?
I might
got personal interest in this.
Wow, that's a whole podcast today.
We'll
have to listen to the episode.
Well, anyone who's listening to this will have to go over there then. So, what's 2020 taught you about your love of going out? Big year, big question.
It's taught me just not to take it for granted. Yeah, like I didn't really take it for granted anyway, but like you're not catching me going home at 2 a.m. anymore or like in it. Like I'm there till the end now. Like
to drag you out.
I didn't take it for granted, but going out in a way, it didn't get boring, but it was kind of like, oh yeah, another party. Whereas now I'm just like, you can't think about it. Like having fun with your friends and just in general for like your mental, like going out is so important.
Yeah, like it was there if you wanted to take it kind of thing. And now having that option, like even going to like the pub, which you just thought was just such a normal thing to do, is like now you'd just wish that you could just be in a pub with your mates.
Literally.
Definitely.
And you've done something with gaming as well, haven't you? What was that?
We're all pretty good on games other than Adam and Maria.
It's okay.
So yeah, we started our own little gaming brand just so we can bring that as part of another part of the Mason kind of experience and whatnot. So we're building on that at the moment, just gonna be throwing events and stuff like that. We're working with some big brands on that as well, so yeah, that's another little part of Mason.
What do you actually do at the event? Do you like game each other or like what? I don't get it.
So we invite guests down. We had we do obviously people and all the like people that come to Mason or anyone in general can come down and enter the tournament. So it's more tournament based.
So it's not just us gaming each other.
Yeah, we don't just sit down.
Come watch us game. You can't watch us DJ, so watch us game.
The idea is to like obviously we'll start streaming it and kind of playing online against other artists. To fit like you liked like MK and WAF and all that. I think WAF started his own gaming page now as well.
Oh, cool.
So a lot of DJs are actually geeky, so they play games. Yeah. So
that's what they like to do in their downtime.
Exactly, yeah. I seen MK's post yesterday. He said he's not going to tour at all now, and he's just going to play games for the rest of the year. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hanging up his headphones for the controller.
What an interesting concept. I didn't expect that to come out of 2020, but it's all been a bit weird anyway.
Massive industry.
Gaming's huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's passed us by. Just missed us completely.
What, us
gaming,
two?
Gaming, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What do you play, PlayStation or Xbox?
PlayStation always.
Have you got a PlayStation 5?
We got back today, didn't we? So we need to get that. Put on the story, actually. So if anyone's watching, we've got a PlayStation 5 link.
Yeah.
That was no ASAP.
This is a public announcement.
Yeah.
PS5s.
Yeah, and we've got like a question that we ask every guest. So you can do a collective answer or
individuals.
If you could go out with anyone anywhere in a normal world, who would you go out with?
Dead or alive?
Dead or alive.
Party.
To a party.
Anywhere, like, yeah, but we about going out. Like, going out.
Any event.
I think this is going to be a separate answer for us all here.
Yeah,
I'm interested to hear what you come out with.
I'd probably play with Travis Scott, can't I?
Where would you go?
That would be pretty lit.
Yeah, it would.
I'd probably go Crazy Girls in LA.
Nice.
Ooh, Crazy Girls.
Which is a strip club.
Oh. We were just like,
I was like,
sounds like a nice club.
It did sound like one. I did think it was, but
probably that's probably my vibe. I think you'd probably come along.
Yeah, I'm definitely crazy because we just thought.
So you got the same answer. Yeah, you'd go out with Omar.
Jackson, bro. Jackson.
I don't know, man. Risky business. me and Pac would have a good night out somewhere in, I don't know, Harlem or somewhere.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Then not the next boo that Crazy Girls.
No.
And what else? What's the next one?
I can't even think. I'll probably say Drake or someone. I'm a fanboy.
Yeah, great
answer. Solid answer.
Oh, we actually partied with Ronaldo. Fat Ronaldo. That blew our mind.
Yeah, in fact, we've not really asked this question. Yeah, like, is that probably like your biggest like pinch yourself moment or what?
100%.
Push it, Fabulous.
That was crazy.
Yeah, we were in Miami and it was my birthday, innit?
Yeah,
and Dice is like our big bro. He was like, someone's coming in. So we're like, what do you mean? He's like, just someone's coming in it. And then fucking P. Diddy just pulled up. Like, guys, it's P. Diddy. And we were just sat there like, yeah.
No way. Yeah, what was he like?
Yeah, he was lit.
He was lovely.
He was like, where the shots at? And I was like, yeah. So that's right. And obviously we pulled up with Pusha T and Fabulous as well.
Oh, wow.
And what's Ronaldo like? Because he's like, obviously super like into fitness and stuff. Does he let go on a night out?
Yeah, let go.
Ronaldo. Yeah, this is old school Ronaldo.
Right.
Oh my God.
I thought you meant when he was just like overweight or something. I was like,
the original Ronaldo.
Right, I'm with you.
We're clueless. I know who P. Diddy is.
Yeah.
The Brazilian footballer.
Yeah, with the long hair.
Nice.
That's Ronaldinho, I think.
Yeah, that's Ronaldinho.
Yeah. I'm on the same wave, I think.
And we had another big question actually because of today. So, have you done your Spotify roundup, unwrapped?
Yeah, I didn't mind, you know.
So we want to hear who your top artists are.
Yeah.
And anything else cool that's like we should know about you.
Or embarrassing, you have
yeah,
to share.
Yeah, or embarrassing. Yeah, you have to share that too.
Do you know what? I've only started using Spotify like the last...
It might not be hugely representative then of what you actually listen to,
or he's just do you have ballads on when you drive? Do you have some embarrassing like
Robbie Williams?
You know, that surprisingly I'm not into cheese, so
I like to listen to some cheese.
Little Mix gonna pop
little
up on
Mix.
Hey, their new album's not bad, you know. It's not what I'd usually listen to, but it's a bit of a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, mine was Huncho and Nave Smalls, surprisingly. And then Drake's on there as well. I think literally every time I've seen someone's, it was just Drake.
Yeah.
It was literally like, yeah, just Drake. Have you got those?
I don't
know. What's
yours? Like, oh, I can't see it.
I know he's such a tapper.
It's gonna say Bad Bunny.
Yeah, I think Drake's up there.
Yeah.
Drake.
Is it top, is your top five?
Yeah, top song is Cardigan. You know, like Don Toliver.
I think I listened to a track 112 times.
That 85
times. Yeah. It's a bit much, that, isn't it?
Mine's a bit embarrassing. I've got Harry Styles on mine. Mine's Harry Styles.
Wow. Should we put this off now?
Yeah, no, it's not the top one. My top one's Bicep, I think. Yeah, I think it was like Bonobo, Tourist, Harry Styles, someone else. Yeah, I don't know what my most listened to song was.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it plays music. It's very snazzy.
Yeah, it's snazzy.
2020 rap.
The suspense.
It's gonna be money, man.
Money man, and then nine, and then Brandy.
Old school.
Yeah, I know.
That's a good one. I like that. Bit of inside knowledge for all our listeners.
Yeah.
So I think
that was it
really.
Yeah.
Nice way to end it, Pippa.
Yeah.
thanks for your time, we really appreciate it, and
we look forward to
seeing the clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Which we'll probably be repping next year, won't we? Attending your events and hearing all the new music that you're doing. We're really excited to see what next year holds for you guys, but thanks so much for letting us question you and getting some personal insights such as Brandy out of you. And knowing that you do your own washing, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Going Out podcast with Skiddle. Don't forget to like, rate and subscribe wherever you hear this podcast.
Thank you.